God, I ask you to guide and direct us in the breaking of bread of your word today, Lord. I pray for fresh bread, that you will nourish us all today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard somebody say one time, if God is serving wine, drink. If he's serving bread, eat. And there's times when we just rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Wine speaks of rejoicing in the heart. And if he's feeding bread, then we eat. Amen. There's a time for everything. We've got to know what God is doing, and we want to be there in that moment with him. If we walk carefully with the Lord, we'll walk in life. If we stay connected with him, if we are listening for his voice, his words are life. These are the words of life. Many people did not want to receive the truth. And when Jesus spoke the truth, there were many of the crowds even left him. You know, God's not looking for a crowd. He's looking for disciples. Amen. True followers. And I trust that we are true followers of Jesus. Amen. And we're not just doing a thing, a Christian thing or some kind of event. How many know that God wants us to get beyond just doing events to it being a lifestyle where we live and we walk in this daily? And God shed his blood for us so we could have his life. So let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. It's not all about me anymore, is it? It is about you. What happens is when we get self-centered and we get self-focused, we are easily offended. We get our feelings hurt. We have expectations that we put on people that they should be paying attention to me. They should be caring about me or worrying about me or whatever they should be doing. When we are focused on ourselves, we are very vulnerable to being hurt. But when we are walking in agape love, which is irregardless of how you treat me or whether you love me or not, I'm choosing to love you. How many know that the enemy cannot touch that kind of love? But when we start to turn inwardly and we start just to focus on self, and we can very easily get into what's called a pity party. Look, woe is me. You know, and the devil wants to beat you over the head and keep you down in that place. And I have discovered that the best thing for me is when I start to get into that kind of mode is I need to say, God, there's somebody else that has a need. There's somebody else that needs prayer. There's somebody else that needs to be blessed. Amen. And I find that as I give, I receive. As I care about somebody else, I receive care. And so I look for opportunities to serve the Lord. Even if it's something that is not visible, nobody's going to recognize or see me do it, it doesn't matter because God sees it. But if you want joy, start sowing joy. Amen? You want love, sow love. Because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So we are to be like Jesus. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to give. Jesus came to love. He didn't come and his life wasn't controlled by what others thought or whether somebody else was paying attention to him or not. What he was paying attention to was what the Father was doing, what the Father was saying. If the Father was saying, good job, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, he received his validation from God, the Father. Amen. And not from his disciples, not from anybody else. He wasn't going to be bound by the opinions of people. He wasn't going to live below that line, amen, where the enemy is. There's a snake line. You ever heard of the snake line, you know? Where the eagles make their nest above the snake line. So their young ones are safe from the serpents, the vipers. Amen. God dwells in that place, that high and holy place. And you and I have been given access through Jesus to also dwell in that place. Come on. Where the serpent can't bite you. If we start wobbling around in the barnyard, and the next thing you know, we're like chickens pecking at each other and, you know, getting into all the drama and my feelings and my this and me. Get over yourself and you'll find life. I'll say it again. Get over yourself and you'll find life. Man, it's daily. We have to get over ourselves. Say, no, it's not about me anymore. That's why we remember the Lord. Amen. In the communion and what he did for us. We remember that Jesus paid the price for us. He bought us. We're his own. We're no longer our own. If we're no longer our own property, why do we live as though we are? Why do we try to save ourselves when we've already been dead and buried with Christ? It's like going back and resurrecting a dead man. Every time we choose to sin, amen, we're going back to death. We're no longer bound by sin. We're no longer a slave to sin. We're a son. We're not a slave. Amen? We're free through the blood of Jesus. Jesus has overcome sin. He's overcome death. He's overcome the grave. He's overcome the world. He's overcome Satan. And in Christ, Christ in me, I overcome as well. You see, when Christ is in us, we want his presence to overcome all those things that are around us that are opposing us. It's not by my willpower, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that those things are defeated in my life. You understand? This is all about Christ in me. It's not about my efforts. It's not about how good I perform or how good I do. It's, am I trusting in the grace of God? Am I trusting in the ability, the power of God to live holy? Or am I just trying in my own willpower and my own strength to be good? That's legalism. That's law. But in grace, it's like Christ coming in and Christ manifesting through me. And if your life is filled with God because you're cooperating with him in the Spirit, there will be evidence. There will be a release of the fragrance of Christ. And how many know that you can go into stinky places and sweeten it up? Because Christ is in you. We're supposed to be a sweet savor. Amen. We're a diffuser of Christ. So let's look at Galatians today, chapter 5, verse 13, just to begin with. I'm going to read these four verses, chapter 5 of Galatians 13 through 16. We're talking about our liberty, our freedom in the Lord. The world has a different view of freedom. I used to have a different view of what freedom was. I thought freedom meant free from all restraints. I just do whatever I feel like doing and I'm free. How many know that just gets you into deeper bondage? Amen. Hallelujah. If you build a fire in the middle of your living room, amen, and it's not in a wood stove, you've got a problem. There are certain laws that need to be in effect there. Amen. You need to have something around that fire called a wood stove, right? If you don't have any kind of boundaries for that fire, there's a problem. Amen. That's what the river banks are for as well. So we don't get flooded out. All right. God has given us direction. He's given us his word to keep us in track with his way. So here we go. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. 14, and now 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, here's the solution. He's saying this is what fixes that. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every one of us has the potential to be contentious. Every one of us. When we get into the flesh, that ugly part of us that we hate, that has to be put to death daily, then the next thing that happens is we start to nitpick, we start to complain, we start to compare, we start to compete. Amen? We start to exalt ourselves above others. And that always causes problems. Amen? Even though Jesus was the exalted king, the Bible says that he made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. He became a man. God became a man. And he came to serve and to give. He didn't come to be served. So in that place of giving, of serving, of loving and giving, Jesus was always refreshed. He was always satisfied. Because satisfaction is not being in some geographic location or having everything just so in your life. True satisfaction comes internally through the Spirit of God because we are in agreement with the Spirit of God, because we are doing the will of God. As you do the will of your Father, you will find that you are contented in that place. If you get beyond or outside of the realm of God's will for your life, you'll find yourself stressed out. Does that make sense? So it's about abiding in Him. Not working harder, striving harder. We need to work smarter, not harder. Now, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, this is what I want us to focus on today. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Again, the title of this message is, Let Us Consider One Another. Talking about Christian liberty, Christian freedom. I'm never to allow my freedom to cause someone else to stumble. Even though I may have it in faith and be able to allow this thing in my life before God, if I love God and I love people, if I'm loving others, I'll be very considerate of how my actions will influence others. Is that true? When we're unloving, we're inconsiderate of how our actions will influence others. All right. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Matthew 18, verse 7. That word offense is scandalon. It means a snare. It's like a bent sapling that they would use to trap birds. Woe to the world because of offenses. In other words, what sorrow awaits those who are offended or hurt. But yet, Jesus went a step further. And he says, but woe to him who is the one who causes someone else to stumble. Because that word scandalon also means stumbling block. So I can cause somebody by my actions to actually fall short of God's best. I can cause someone to stumble. I can actually prevent somebody from entering into the kingdom because of the things that I allow in my life. You understand? Jesus is saying, woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes, by the person who actually creates the offense or causes it. The New Living Translation, Matthew 18, 7, what sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting. Now, when I was in the world, I used to try to get people to do what I was doing so that I could feel better about what I was doing. Well, if we're all in it together, we're all going down together, you know. I seem to feel better. I seem to be able to appease my conscience a little bit by getting other people involved in whatever I was doing that I knew was wrong. Maybe I didn't know all the time, but you know what I'm talking about? There was something bothering you inside, and so you just thought, well, if the crowd is doing it, then I'm justified. How many know that Christians are eagles, amen, not chickens? We don't waddle around in groups, amen? We don't follow what the crowd is doing. We follow the Father. We follow the Spirit. So if the crowd is going the wrong direction, we don't go there. But so many people are controlled by what's popular, by what others are doing. And we have to be very careful as believers that we're not allowing those things that are liberties to us to cause someone else to stumble or to hinder them in their spiritual progress. Parents, moms and dads, your children are watching you. They're learning from you. Your example. Oh, how is it that we get upset when we see our kids doing the things that we allow, that we know weren't right? God says, if you live it before Him, model it before Him, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Amen. So we have to be an example, not just in word, but in how we live our lives in such a way that our kids aren't going to be able to say, well, mom and dad are hypocrites. They go to church and they put on all these airs, but boy, you ought to see them when they get home. God help us, because our actions do speak louder than our words. And so we have to be very careful that we don't cause one of these little ones, as Jesus said, who believe in me to stumble. And it's not just talking about children, but he's talking about his people. The little ones are the ones who know that they don't have it. They don't got it all together. They're the ones that are humble and willing to learn and find out what God says about it. Amen? The little ones are those who are not big in their own mind, but they're actually little in their own mind. And they know that they are. Because those who are arrogant and those who are built up in pride and lifted up in pride cannot receive the grace of God. God gives His grace to the humble. He gives His grace to the ones who are yielded to Him and willing to submit themselves to God. Are you hearing it today? He says, listen, offenses are going to come. And we know that the world, the devil, the flesh, sin, it's all pointed against us, isn't it? But if we become an agent for those forces, we're in big trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the question I want to ask today is something I have to ask myself is, am I actually building the kingdom of God or am I destroying it by the way I live? How many know that there's no place called neutrality in the kingdom? Jesus says, you're either going to gather with me or you're going to scatter. So ask yourself the question, am I building the kingdom or am I destroying the works of God? Am I being an example or am I in cohorts with the devil? Am I living according to the rule of the Spirit or am I living according to my own rules? How many know your own rules aren't going to cut it? There's a rule that's written on your heart by the Spirit. You've got to obey His voice. Matthew 12:30 says, he who is not with me is against me. This is Jesus. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Wow. What is he saying? He's saying you can't just kind of hang out in the middle somewhere. Either you are actively building and laboring with Christ, or you're going to end up being a scatterer. You're going to cause trouble. And isn't it true? Have you ever heard the old saying, idle hands is the devil's, what? Workshop. See, when we're not busy, when we're not on the hunt, you heard that illustration before about the dog in the kennel. When he sits in the kennel and he's not busy, he's not active for God, all he can think about is the fleas. Amen. But as soon as a dog is on the hunt, forget about the fleas. It's amazing. Our dog, sometimes she gets skin problems and she's itching and she's just miserable. You get the ball out and throw the ball and all of a sudden it's all, my worries are over. What fleas, you know, or what problem? No, it's true. When we are actively engaged in building the kingdom, we're not going to be in a place where now we're all self-centered and self-focused and in a place where we start to grumble and we start to complain and we get into the pity party, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's somebody else's fault that I'm here. It's somebody else's fault that I'm in the condition I am. Somebody didn't pay attention to me. Somebody didn't give me a call. What does that mean? It means you're focused on yourself. Folks, I'm going to tell you how many times I get calls where somebody's just calling up and say, hey, Pastor, how you doing? Well, guess what? I'm not asking for it. It's okay. If you call and ask, I'll try to be honest with you. Try to be. But folks, I'm not looking for that. Amen? Jesus wasn't going around looking for that. He was there to give. He was there to serve. He was there to love. I'm doing my Father's will. And I'm going to love people, whether they love me back or not. I'm going to die for you, even though you may hate me. He died for the ones that crucified Him, that mocked Him, scorned Him, shamed Him. He died for them because He was going to love. And God wants you to be that expression of His love. He wants to love in and through your life. And folks, when we walk in true love, love does no ill to his neighbor. Amen? Love does not commit adultery. Love does not steal. Love does not bear false witness. Any other commandment, it's in love your neighbor as yourself. Live for love. Get your eyes off you. Get him on your assignment. Be that dog on the hunt. Lord, we're doing this thing. I've got a vision. Do you got a vision? Has God given you a vision? God has given you a purpose. Amen? If you don't have a vision, you need to pray for one. Amen. I just read an article by David Wilkerson, and it was about just that, about, you know, having vision for the future. When we're focused on the vision, you know, you're not going to get bogged down in just the things that are happening around you, the minor things especially. Isn't it true that the devil likes to take little things and make them big things? When actually it's not that at all. But he's playing with our minds. And he's trying to get us to believe more in him than in God. He's trying to get us to worship him by bowing down to that spirit of fear. Bowing down to that addiction. Every time you bow down to that, you're bowing down to another God. Because your God is bigger than that. And your God says, I don't want you doing that because you're my child and I love you. And I have something better for you. Are you on the hunt? Are you doing the will of God? Are you building or are you scattering? There's no neutrality. Oh, we like to be in that place of, we are the world, you know. Kumbaya. But God says, I have a mission. I came to love, to heal, and to forgive. And I'm calling you to follow me and to love, to heal, and to forgive. I want you to yoke up with me, join with me, get involved in what I'm doing. Get your eyes off yourself, because as soon as we start getting on ourselves, folks, then all those habits and all those other things start to dominate us. Why? Because our faith is not in the grace or the power or the ability of God any longer. We're focused on ourselves as being the agent of our own salvation. And Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you lose it. And the best way we can bear witness to the grace of God is by surrendering our life to Christ and to live this gospel before the world in truth. You understand, this is the thing that we struggle with, is we don't like to give up. We don't want to surrender, you know. We like to be in control. And how many have realized that God allows things in your life to get you out of control? He'll put you in a situation where you have no control over something so that you will surrender to Him. Give him the reins, and then the grace of God will be sufficient for you in that need. The ability of God will see you through, because now you're not focusing on yourself, because you realize you don't have enough in you to do it. And now I need God. I need God. And every time I need God, it's a good thing. Amen. Because there's life and joy and peace in him. When my eyes are on him, life is good. So God's trying to get us over ourselves, folks. And the dying process is not easy. It's not fun, but it's necessary to get us into position. And the devil wants to beat us down and tell us you're washed up. You're all done. God isn't going to use you anymore. And you might as well just sit here and just sulk. Of course, none of you have ever done that before, but. But, you know, God wants to get us into that place where we're focusing really on ourselves. When I'm focused on myself, hear me, when I'm focused on myself, then I am concerned about whether or not somebody sees me. I'm concerned if somebody's noticing me when I'm on myself, stuck on myself. Isn't that what the show-off spirit's all about? When we're self-centered, we're a show-off and we want people to see us, to recognize us, to notice us. You know what? God notices you. You know where He notices you the most? In your prayer closet. In the secret place where nobody's watching you. When you're giving your alms in secret. Amen? Come on, Jesus said, shut yourself into your closet and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. You want to be blessed openly? Connect with God privately. Walk with God personally. Amen. That's how it works, folks. You can't ride the coat strings of somebody else. You can't live off somebody else's anointing. You need to know how to get into His presence yourself. Pursue the Lord, know Him, and walk according to the rule of the Father and not allow everybody else to dictate what you're going to do. God, you decide. You see, the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. There are people who are missing their call, hear me, in life because of somebody, some man, some person. A spouse, whoever it might be, because they fear that person more than they do God. And when we fear man, it means that we don't fear God more. And so that means I'm not taking God serious enough. And I'm more concerned about what other people think about me. Why? Because I'm focusing on me and not on others. You know the best way out of depression? To rise up and to start blessing and giving and loving and serving. Ha. Huh. Amen? Amen? Get into the love. Get into the flow of God's love. But when we don't, then we kind of get into this place where we just kind of sit, soak and sour. And we focus in. And then the enemy just shows up. You're done. It's hopeless. You might as well just kill yourself. Ever heard that voice? Some of us have. God will never use you again. You know what? You don't have to be somewhere geographically to be used of God. Amen? We are a priesthood. You are to bloom right where you're at. Bloom where you're planted. God will take you on journeys in the Spirit. And He will use you. Amen? That's what we tell the people when we go out to the nursing home. It says, you're here for a reason. You can't leave here, but you don't have to go somewhere else. Amen. To find God. As a matter of fact, when we sing that song in the garden and He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own, we tell them, listen, the garden is not outside. The garden is inside. Wherever Jesus is paradise.
Amen.
So right where you're at, tap in. To Him. Hallelujah. And the best way to tap in, and I've discovered this, is to live for others and not for myself. When I was in prison, You visited me, right? When I was hungry, You fed me. For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. Don't get into the place, folks, where you're comparing with your brother and your sister, where you're competing with your brother and your sister. Amen? We're family. We're all gifted differently. Amen? You don't have to have what I have, and I don't have to have what you have. I just need to have what God gave me. Know what it is and be faithful with it. Amen? But rather resolve this, he says, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. This is the same thing Jesus is talking about. This is Paul to the Romans. He's saying the same thing. Don't allow your liberty, that which you're allowing in your life, to cause somebody else to fall. So we shouldn't do anything to hinder a brother or sister in their spiritual progress. And why is that? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because we all have our day in court. We're all going to have our day in court. And do you know that God loves you with a jealous love? He is passionately in love with every one of us here. And so if we attack and we judge and we criticize and we tear down one another, you're actually tearing down the body of Christ. You're hurting Jesus when you do that. That's why my actions I have to be very careful about, because I don't want to allow anything in my life that could potentially cause any one of you to stumble. Why? Because I know that I'm going to answer to Jesus someday, and so will you. See, some people don't really have the fear of God. They think it's a light thing that they can just go out and they can get drunk, or they can sleep around, you know. They can have sex outside of marriage. They can, you know, do drugs or whatever, or gossip about people. They don't have the fear of God. And they do things. I hear people sometimes, people will go into restaurants, Christians. I've sat beside Christians before. I didn't know who they were, but I'm listening to them talk. And they're talking about sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and that church and that pastor and that blah, 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 blah. And there's all kinds of people sitting around there that probably don't even know Jesus, and that's what they're hearing. And guess what? Your big mouth is causing somebody else to stumble, because they're not going to want that kind of garbage. Amen. And never speak evil of your church. I don't care if you're having a problem here. Let's work it out. Amen. I'm not saying we are, but don't ever talk evil about your brother or your sister or your church. Amen. Do you care enough about them to go to them and try to help them? And what was that you said the other day, Lauren? That was that saying, if you're not part of the problem and you're not part of the solution, then it's gossip. Wow. Wow. Has anybody beside myself ever got caught up in gossip before? All right. How many have repented of that? How many are going to repent right now of that? Amen? No more. All right. We need to remember that Jesus shed His blood for us. He shed His blood for His church. He loves us so much that He passionately died for us. Amen? Amen. And we don't want to do anything, amen, to discredit that what He's done. And we don't want to do anything that would harm one of His people. Yeah. And if we do, we need to be quick to forgive. We need to be quick to apologize to one another. And not to allow the sun to go down on our wrath. We don't want to allow our liberty even the things that we allow in our lives, to cause someone else to stumble. Like Paul said, I won't eat meat and I won't drink wine if it will cause my brother to stumble. See, sometimes you can have something in faith between you and God, and it's not a problem for you, but is your liberty causing someone else to fall? We need to ask that. What will my actions produce? What type of fruit will they produce? If I allow this thing in my home, you know, it boggles me, but the stuff that Christians will watch, movies that Christians will go to, filth, you know, and sometimes the kids are sitting right alongside them watching the filth with them. And it's like, where is the fear of God? Where is the discernment? Do you not understand that your liberty is causing somebody else to fall? See, the devil wants to dumb us down by defiling ourselves with this stuff. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Come on. This is serious business. You understand that the devil works through the gateway of the eye. And he's looking for an opening. He's looking for someone that's opening themselves up to the filth, so he can just slip right inside that person and begin to destroy their life. Do you understand? A lot of our children today are demon possessed because of the stupid television, because of these stupid video games. A lot of internet, a lot of adults, the same thing. They're subjecting themselves to these things. And we got to be very careful, folks, how we live. Amen. Don't allow anything that's going to potentially cause someone to stumble. Let us consider one another, Hebrews 10:24, in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. If God has spoken to you today, amen, it's never to condemn, but it's always to draw us closer to Him. God wants us to come to Him, confess those things, so that we can receive healing. Has God spoken to you today through this message? If He has, I want you to settle it with Him right now. Don't allow that this time to go past, because there is an opportunity when the door is open, the window is open for you to deal with a situation. If you've heard the word, then you need to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself if you just come and listen to another message. but you don't do anything with it. So right now, you need to resolve that, Lord, I'm going to heed, I'm going to listen to what you've told me today, and I'm going to practice what I've heard. If God has spoken to you and maybe you felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you felt very uncomfortable about it, but you know I'm telling the truth today, you felt that God was speaking through me today to you, then right now, why don't you confess it to God? Right now, why don't you settle it with God? Right now, just take it to Jesus and say, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me for my sin. Lord, bring deliverance, bring healing in my life. Lord, I want to walk in your freedom. Lord, I don't want to allow anything in my life that would cause anybody to stumble. Lord, I don't want to grieve your spirit. I don't want to upset you, Lord. God, I don't want to be the source of the offense. I don't want to cause somebody else to fall. Jesus, teach me how to live. Teach me how to walk with you in the truth, in love. Teach me how to love my brother, my sister. Teach me how to consider my brother and my sisters. Teach me how to live. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name. I surrender all.